Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Oh, Miles here.
Your Owl Post for the week is freshly delivered, and I am just one of the hosts here, Matthew Rushing, and with me, as she is every single week, especially as we are towards the end, Dre Coffman.
That's really all I have to say about 2021 so far. We can leave it at that. I feel like anyone who has looked at the news lately understands what that means. We can just cruise right past that. And hit up the review we got.
Yeah, we did get some good news because we got a review. I cannot say the name because there are at least 45 letters to this name. but you know who you are, and you gave us a review, and it said, "Awesome podcast, 5 stars, best podcast ever." I mean, Dre, they don't beat around the bush.
I don't blame them. They are pretty great.
So true. I mean, no, please continue.
Go on. As I fan myself.
Oh, well, thank you so much, though. We really do appreciate it. I don't know if people understand what it means to us to get those kind of reviews, but we're glad that you're enjoying the podcast. We've had so much fun with it. And as I mentioned, I think I was counting today, we have like 9 or 10 episodes left. So it's super crazy how quick that this is going. And make sure, though, you're subscribed so you get every single episode as soon as it drops there on Apple Podcasts or any of the places where you get your podcast. Of course, you can also give us a star rating review, and like we did with that review, we'll read it out on the show. You can find us on Twitter at Join Nerd Party. We're on Facebook at facebook.com/TheNerdParty. And over at thenerdparty.com, you can go to the contact section where you can send Dre and I an email, which is always fun to get. But so this chapter is called The Final Hiding Place. And that has a lot of meanings. It's chapter 27, and I kind of love that they're flying on this dragon, and there are a few different responses to this. One being Ron, who apparently is swearing at the top of his voice, and two, Hermione seems to be sobbing.
Yeah, I love that. I would be probably a combination of the two. I would be kind of sobbing until I got my breath, and then it would just be endless curse words, and then back to kind of the sobbing. But yeah, I don't think either of them have really ridden a dragon. I mean, Harry's ridden a dragon back in book 4. Was it book 4?
Well, he's never ridden a dragon, but he's had a lot of experience up close with dragons because, you know, he rode his broom, remember? But he doesn't actually ride a dragon.
Okay, it was Buckbeak he read.
Yes, he rode Buckbeak. So he's got experience with riding an animal. And he's been on a centaur's back as well. So,
yeah, so Harry has a lot more experience sort of up close with dragons than the others. And so it's not maybe quite as stressful for him as it is for the others. I like that they kind of remind you that the cool air is nice on all the burns that they've accumulated from the vault. And I like that the first thing they have to encounter is how the heck do they get off the back of this dragon? Like, how long do they stay? Because they don't think it really knows they're there,
right?
But they don't really want to be around to find out if it does, and then how do you get down, and then there's a dragon there when you get down. So I like that their first problem's kind of like, I didn't really think this through.
Yeah, it is pretty great. And while they're trying to figure that out as well, you know, Harry's kind of thinking to himself, how long is it going to be before Voldemort and the knows that we broke into the stranger's vault? Like, how long do we have? And honestly, we don't have too long. This chapter is going to answer that question. But I do kind of love the way they get out of this, you know, riding on the dragon, and that, you know, they've been flying for quite a while and they start to kind of descend. and they find themselves over some lakes, and they decide as soon as it gets low enough, they will jump off into the lake. And it's a lot less romantic than they make it in the movie, in the sense that in the movie, they kind of like fall into the water and everything. But when they talk about it here, it's like, it's not that the water was like super deep, but they had to get through all these reeds and mud and everything to get out. So by the time that they get out of this lake, they're not just wet, but they're disgusting. They still have all ridiculous. These red whelps and burns on themselves that they have to take care of with Dittany. So it's just not quite as glamorous as the movie. Kind of, I mean, the movie, they're freezing and everything, but the movie makes it seem a little bit more glamorous than this. Like, this is just, it's been a long day for them.
Yeah. And it's not over yet.
No.
Either. Not by kind of a long shot.
Well, and the nicest part about this is that Hermione remembered to pack some pumpkin juice from Shell Cottage. And so as they're getting into some clean, dry robes, they are able to enjoy the juice together. And then they have the Horcrux and they're kind of talking about it, like what they're going to do. And... you know, it's not like they can wear it around their necks, Ron says, which is great.
We can't wear this one around our necks.
and they see the dragon across the way, and Hermione's like, do you think it's going to be okay? And they're like, what do you mean if it's going to be okay? It's a dragon, Hermione. You sound like Hagrid. And then Ron makes the joke of, but I think they might have noticed that we broke into Gringotts, and they have themselves a really big laugh. And unfortunately, that's kind of when things go south because, well, Harry starts having visions of what Voldemort's doing at this exact moment. And I wouldn't say that it's pleasant.
Yeah, this is one of, I think, it's the most vivid and sort of lucid of the experiences we get with him. I mean, we've had snippets, but this is kind of the longest we stay in this sort of connection that they have. And it is very not pleasant for anyone involved either at that end or at you know, on our end. It's rough.
Well, I mean, he is torturing people when he finds out what they stole. I mean, he goes into a fit of rage that we have not seen Voldemort do.
Mm-hmm.
And he is slashing people and killing people with that wand all over the place. And then I love the thought process for Voldemort of, well, if they've destroyed a Horcrux, would I have known? Like, obviously, I didn't know that he's like, in his mind, he's like, well, obviously, you know, the diary, I would not have known because I wasn't really corporeal at that point at all. So, I mean, how would I have known that happened? But if the boy had destroyed other Horcruxes, I have to have known, right? Like, and then he starts running through like where they all are, and
which they don't do in the movie, and exactly. They should have done in the movie, because yep. You're like, oh man, you're so dumb.
It is. You're so it dumb. Is,
it's the villain's like monologue, right? It's the villain's monologue in every like Bond movie and supervillain movie where they wax poetic about their evil plans and what's coming next. That's essentially what he's doing to himself.
Mm-hmm.
But he knows that Harry can get in.
Well, and I think what's really interesting here is that I think Voldemort is too angry to even think about that at this moment. Yeah. And of course,
he's too angry to think rationally.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Not that he's rational anyway, but
but he rationalizes yes, things, yes. Right? He doesn't take the time to rationalize this thought mm-hmm. process because he's so incredibly emotional.
Well, and he's thinking about like, did Dumbledore suspect? Did Dumbledore know? How much did he know? How much did he tell the boy? You know, he's talking to himself about how, you know, he couldn't have known about the Gaunt Shack because nobody knew that. But well, wait. I guess Dumbledore knew my middle name, so maybe he knows, maybe he knew that. And then he's, of course, thinking about, well, what about the school? Could the one I have at the school, nobody could have known that, because he's like, nobody's plumbed the depths of that school as I have. So there's this massive amount of arrogance, of course. And then he's like, oh, and Nagini, well, I mean, she's going to have to stay close to me now the whole time. And then he makes plans to visit all of them, and he thinks he'll visit the house.
Yeah, because that's the most unlikely. No, because that's the most likely of the unlikelies. Mm-hmm.
That Dumbledore would have known, right?
Right, because he doesn't think anyone can get through his magical enchantments at the lake.
Right.
So the house is the least guarded, so he's going to start there. He knows that the diary is gone. Right. So he knows the diary is gone, the ring. He talks about the locket, which is what he's referring to at the lake. We know the cup, right? That's four. He mentions Nagini and that Nagini needs to stay close. And then he mentions something at Hogwarts, mm-hmm. which brings us to a grand total of six, which is more than Harry knew 10 minutes ago.
Yep. Well, and what I really love here is, you know, and this is something we've obviously seen. Dumbledore has talked about this, you know, the narrow-minded thinking of Voldemort in the first place. And his arrogance is what has gotten him into so much trouble. And here we see his ultimate form of arrogance in that. Well, nobody could have known this. Nobody could get past, you know, my enchantments, the lake. Nobody plumbed the depths of Hogwarts the way I have. And so I think what we're seeing here is, you know, and this is quintessential for many villains, which is it is their arrogance, which is their downfall. And there is no humility in Voldemort, and we see that here. And of course, like you said, this is everything that Harry needed to know right here. Right. Like we now know.
This is your checklist yep. of everything left to do that you didn't have before.
Yeah. And now, you know, once he comes out of this trance, he's able to tell them, he's like, I knew it. I knew it was at Hogwarts, you know, and, He's like, I saw him find out about the cup. He's really pissed. And now he is going all out to search for all the places that he hid things. And he's like, we need to get going to Hogwarts now, because I have no idea how long this is going to take him.
Well, and that's the one that Voldemort has already identified as being last, because he thinks it's the most protected besides probably Nagini.
Right, because Snape is there.
Because Snape is there, and he also doesn't think anybody else has gotten as far into the depths as Hogwarts is, which we don't quite know what that means yet. But he seems to think both it's buried enough at Hogwarts, and there's enough protection at between Hogsmeade and Snape and Hogwarts and everything else, that there's just no way they'll get there, let alone find it. Mm-hmm. So between that and keeping Nagini literally next to him the entire time, he's like, well, those are the two that I don't need to worry about. I'm going to go look for the other two. Because he now knows where the last two yes. are. One's destroyed, he knows for a fact, and he knows that they have the other one.
Well, and I think, you know, and Harry, I mean, this is frustrating for him because, you know, obviously he knows that he has to go now, even though all of him inside just basically wants to get in the tent and sleep. Like, he's exhausted. And so right. are Ron and Hermione. And they have no plan, but they have no choice. They have to go now. And
it could be an hour. It exactly. could be a week. They don't know. Yeah.
Yep. And so they all get under the invisibility cloak, and they are going to go to Hogsmeade and try and find a way into Hogwarts. And this is a really short chapter, but I mean, it's one of the most important chapters we've had, because now we know what we're after. And not only do we know what we're after in the sense that we know it's something Ravenclaw, because Harry's already talked about that before, but he mentions to them that he's pretty sure he knows what it is as well, even though Voldemort did not say that in his mind.
Well, And I think that, you know, Harry's kind of been right from the beginning, and he knew Hogwarts was going to play a part.
Yeah.
He didn't know how or what, or if it had already played a part, right? He's getting these pieces put together. But I think he has shown that he truly is in the mind of, I mean, not just actually in the mind, but he truly understands and is in the thought process of Voldemort. And he, I think Hermione sort of raising a couple objections, but then instantly just kind of going along and getting under the cloak, even though their feet are going to show, shows that I think that's the last time. She's just on board now, right? Like, she's good. We're going to do it. It is what it is. We're all on the same side. This is kind of the unwavering area at this point. And that's, to me, where it really seals the deal that, like, this is the beginning of the end, right?
Yeah.
Like, they are officially all aligned. No more questions or bickering. They're just going to go and figure it out now, which requires sort of a connection and a trust that you don't have unless you have it, right? You can't kind of half do the level of trust needed.
Right.
You know, can't kind of trust the person to just wander into the most dangerous situation you can think of, besides maybe the ministry at this point. You know, so it'll be interesting to see it play out, because we have to figure out, they're going to Hogsmeade, and they're not quite sure how they're going to get to Hogwarts from there. So, you know, the next chapter we'll be able to figure out, you know, how the heck are they going to get into Hogwarts, let alone find this object that they're looking for, that they think they're looking for. Right. We can't even confirm that they're looking for it. Well, but we do know that that is essentially the last one that they can get access to.
Yeah. Well, and what's kind of cool here, and not to spoil anything, because that's not what we do, but, you know, if you're somebody who's really been paying attention,
you know what it is too.
You not only know what it is, but like Harry, you also think you know where it is.
Yes. If you've been paying attention, you can deduce this.
Yeah.
Y'all, it's a challenge.
It's great.
We'll challenge you with it.
So, well, I mean, that is where the chapter ends, Drea. We'll be back next week. And again, you know, we don't have too many episodes left as we look to finish up the series. But where can people find you if they want to catch up with you?
Sure, you can find me on Twitter at PCFChick or on Instagram at Drea Kaufman, and it's COFFMAN.
And of course, I'm here on the network doing Aggressive Negotiations with John Mills as we talk about Star Wars each and every week. It's a Star Wars podcast, so please join us. I'm over on the TFM network doing a few shows. One is called the 602 Club, which is our general geek show where we're doing and talking about all of the fandoms that we love. So I hope you'll check that out. And in fact, got an announcement coming up soon on that show. We got a new show that's going to be dropping over with the 602 Club. So you'll want to make sure you're tuned in for that. You could find me also doing The Orb as well as Literary Treks. The Orb is about show Star Trek Deep Space Nine, and then Literary Treks is about the books and the comics of Star Trek. And of course, you could find me all over social media under Matt Rushing 02. If I am on that platform, you can find me there. But thank you so much for checking your Owl Post.
Mischief managed.
Join the revolution. Join the Nerd Party.